Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Really fast, don't forget to click the like, subscribe, and follow button. It helps you get notifications when new episodes drop. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm so excited. Like I always say, every single time I have the most amazing people that bless me with their presence. And today I have one of my longest, closest friends, Erica. Say hi, Erica.
Hello.
Are you so excited to be here?
No, I'm excited. I'm just, what's to come?
What's to come? Jennifer has a stirring pot of stuff. But I want to tell you a funny story because this has nothing to do with us and our relationship. We're going to talk about it in 5 seconds, but I just have to tell you this funny story because I couldn't believe this. So last week I went to the river, which I'll talk about at a later date, but my friend Kim, she went to go use a bathroom. I don't use bathrooms at the gas stations. If you're traveling and there's a truck stop, you know that you're pretty safe there because they have like the showers and stuff. They give her the key with the pipe, you know? So Kim goes, I have to go to the bathroom and we're getting gas anyway. And I don't know why I thought about this today because I couldn't believe when she told me this. So it has like the pipe connected, like the PVC pipe or whatever. And the lady says to Kim, here you go. Please do not shit on the walls or this toilet seat. And Kim goes, is that a problem? And she's like, that's why I'm telling you this. And I said, oh my God, imagine that's your job. You have to say that and then you have to go in the bathroom and pray
it's
to God.
It's happened before.
Crisscross applesauce that no one shit. Oh, I couldn't even believe it. I have to tell you, I died. I was like, and this is why I don't go in the bath. I do not go in gas station bathrooms. Do you go in gas station bathrooms? Or do you try to find like a rest stop truck stop?
I have. Scary.
Yeah, it's what are people doing there?
It was an emergency.
I hope there was no shit on
the walls. Either that or the car. So I chose not my car.
I went with A. I didn't want to do that. But I couldn't believe she said that to her.
Yeah.
I know. Kim doesn't tell me that till like a day later. She's like, oh, guess what they said? And I was like, the lady had to say that to you. That means somebody's doing that. And also, I will never go in just a regular Joe Schmo gas station. I guess I'll just poop in my pants. I don't know. Pee in my pants. I don't know.
It's got to be pretty dire.
That's terrible. So I went with my mom last week to Utah.
Oh.
I'm telling you this because I was referring to truck stops and that's why they were in my brain because that's where we stopped as always a truck stop because I feel like it's safe there. And there's always
because
like
they
a
have
Denny's.
Showers.
And they have showers.
So they means they're fine.
They have a Denny's and I feel like that's fine. And then they also have showers. I feel maybe you don't have shit on the walls. I don't know. But anyways, my mom went to Utah and my mom needed to get a car. And I didn't want her to go by herself because she has her lease car. And we stopped by at the house, the rental that my mom's renting out. And this lady's a hoarder. We couldn't even walk in. It was so crazy, Erica. I started crying.
Your mom's rental?
My mom's house in Utah.
Yeah, she's renting she's to still a hoarder.
Well, we didn't know that. But she's like, she had gave my mom a heads up. She's like, oh, I have my husband, ex-husband now, he allowed me to get my stuff out of storage. So I just brought it here. And this is what she told my mom. So there's some boxes everywhere. I'm really sorry when you guys come. My mom just wanted to get some paperwork that she needed. And I walk in and you cannot walk in the front door. It's solid shit. And then downstairs where we're in the basement, it's like a full basement where David and I and Charlotte usually are. You couldn't even walk. It was solid boxes, like to the ceiling. You couldn't see the bed. You couldn't see anything. And I was like looking and she comes down. She's like, I'm so sorry. I've had this here for a while, and my mom's looking at me, and I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I felt like she tainted the house. I feel like she tainted it with all this shit. And I literally was like sobbing. And of course, my mom and her, I love her. You know, I love my mom. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just having a moment. Oh, there was like 20 moments in there. And she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go back upstairs then and like go do something. I'm like, I'm okay. You don't have to ask me what's going on or if I need a hug. It's okay, Sheila. It's okay, Sheila. I got this. Anyways, but that was my story about that. See, random. I just talk about random stuff. Okay, how do we know each other, Erica? Oh, I want to preface. She doesn't have the best memory.
I was going to say, isn't this your part?
She doesn't have the best memory.
I know.
She thinks we were in the same city, maybe the same school.
So, if I remember correctly, it was seventh grade.
Yes.
Village Christian.
Yes. Good old VCS.
Sunland, California.
Yes.
We're looking great and fine.
Better than the rest.
Team of 89.
Oh, you remember that?
Yes.
That is the greatest thing. Lisa is going to die. She was just saying. Sing.
That was the one Kim made up, right?
I know.
Kim made up that cheer and we all did it and tried out and I didn't make it.
We all tried out. But here's the thing. You didn't make it, but you weren't devastated. No, you weren't.
Oh, I weren't devastated. I wasn't devastated.
I am still devastated every once in a while. And I'm like, Charlotte, you're going to do cheer. I don't care. You're going to do cheer. You're going to do it every year. You're going to do it. I don't care if you don't want to. You're doing it.
Oh, my God.
She's like, but I don't really. I'm like, that's what's happening.
We're getting you a box.
We're getting
a
pom-poms. Box. We're getting some capas.
Do they make them still?
I don't know. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Kim probably still has them.
Team Color Peg.
Which, did I tell you this? 2 years ago when Charlotte did her little junior cheer, I don't know if I told you this. I feel like I did. So normally they do it at her high school because there's three campuses for Charlotte's school, which was the old LAB campus, okay? But this year that she did it 2 years ago, it was at Birmingham, like in Van Nuys or something. It's like a big school right there on Victory. And anyways, we park. Charlotte's getting out. We have to get there 9 hours early for a 2-minute cheer, whatever. Fine. It's like drizzling rain. And I see all these kids in their girls in their cheerleading outfits, but it's not our colors. But I'm like, what school is this? I wonder. Like, I wonder what school this is. It was Village, but they changed their colors.
Oh.
It's black, red, and white now.
I don't like that.
No red, gold. And white. Let's go and fight. Uh-huh. Let's go. It was black, red, and white. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, wonder why they did that.
I don't know either, but I kept seeing them. And then David's like,
maybe gold is too.
Maybe gold means like you're
ungodly.
Maybe it's like the devil's stuff. Do you like to count your gold bricks?
No, red isn't the devil's color. It's gold.
Remember? You couldn't wear red panties. Remember?
No.
When they said you can't wear red panties.
First of all, why are we at seventh grade thinking we need red panties?
Not seventh grade. It might have been like ninth grade, but they were like, you can't
but
wear.
They had the red briefs under the skirts.
But not like thongs.
The thongs.
Thongs. So we met each other in seventh grade because you did not go to Village in elementary school.
No.
You came in seventh grade.
I went to the public.
Then what made you go to Village, though? Well, I know why, but I want you,
you want me to tell you why. It's a long story. So I lived in Van Nuys, and I remember having a long discussion with my dad, different story, about I really wanted to go to Van Nuys High School.
Ooh.
With my best friend, Candy, who was, anyways.
Not to be confused with this best friend right here.
I knew that would bring up feelings.
We're going to dive into that in 5 minutes.
I have loyalty issues. Van Nuys High, my dad, in the, do you remember Penguins, Froken Yozert?
I do.
So I remember we were having that conversation. My dad says, if you get straight A's, I'll let you go to Van Nuys with Candy. So I like, apparently, people tell me that I like brought the desk up from the garage. I was determined to get straight A's because I wanted to go to Van Nuys High with Candy. I didn't want to be going to Village. But anyway, so I got the straight A's, but that didn't work out. There was broken promises and that led to a lot of things. But
plus, there was probably murder there, I feel.
What do you mean? She's still alive. And all of her friends are still alive. It's fine. It toughens you up. But anyway.
Thick skin.
I had to go to Village Christian where my stepbrother went, and that's how I got there.
Did you didn't like it?
Well, it's not where I wanted to be, but, you know, I made it work.
You made it work. It was really cool.
Yeah, but I don't even know what class or how we even became friends.
I don't know either. How did we become friends? Was it because we both had Bible together in eighth grade? Sam Graham, the Bible man who used to look at girls' skirts and he had sweaty armpits?
Perhaps. We probably had to band together.
We probably had to not sit in the front row because he would just stare at our non-red panties.
He was just checking to make sure nobody had red panties.
He didn't want the devil. Because there he was, our Bible teacher. He didn't want the devil to come in the classroom.
Oh, man.
So you didn't. Did you ever try out for drill team?
Yep.
You made drill team.
Mm-mm. I made nothing.
Wait,
That was Janet Jackson.
Wait a minute.
I remember a little bit of that one.
Wait a minute. You blew my mind. I thought for sure you made drill team. Everyone made drill team but me, I thought.
Nope. I did not.
We're sisters forever.
Yeah.
Our last
I just
breath.
Ended up being the jock.
You did every sport. She was so good at every sport. She always was so good, and she was so disciplined, and she always did all the fucking sports. I tried out for a couple years. I tried out for volleyball. I tried out for maybe two sports. One other one didn't make it. Said, you know what? Fuck this. But do you remember also in junior high, I believe it was, maybe it was ninth grade, we had to do a jump rope routine in PE?
Yeah, I do.
Mine was with Amber Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do a jump rope routine. We had to memorize it. Like, how lame
I think
is
it was
that?
Like 2 minutes long or something.
Wasn't
that
lame? Like, tell me that was lame.
I mean, being the jock, I thought it was pretty cool.
You probably did the twirls.
I did do the twirls. And
you like, I had the best
the double
jump
hops. The speed.
I had the best jump rope in the world.
Yeah.
I went to Sports Authority and got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you played sports forever. Softball?
Basketball, volleyball.
Yeah, and what was the other one? Jump rope?
I don't think they had a team. But if they had, I would have been captain.
And then you went on to do softball forever.
A little bit. I didn't play my 12th grade year. I didn't do a lot of things my 12th grade year because of the relationship we'll get into.
And a story we'll get into. But, you didn't play in your...
No.
But you played in your junior year, though.
Yep. And I pitched... I remember spending a whole summer at Hanson Dam Park with the Vales.
Oh,
pitching.
Yeah.
Pitching some more. And then
you were good.
He didn't really play me.
Well, you were good.
I was okay. They didn't get a scholarship or anything.
You weren't in the Olympics. No.
Probably because I didn't play 12th grade. I played in 12th grade, I think I played Sybil for a minute in Sylmar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my sisters did too for a little bit. But anyway, then I went to Pierce College and I was like, oh, I'll try out for softball here.
And you played?
I played.
I remember.
Yeah.
You were so cool though.
I always thought
you were so cool. You always got to do, like, I had try out and I was like, what am I trying out for? I don't make anything.
Well, it doesn't define you.
No, I mean now, but then I was like, everyone and their goddamn mother made drill team but me. But now a light and a halo has come across you because I'm not alone. I actually truly thought that. There were some people that shouldn't have made it and did.
There was a lot of people that shouldn't have made it.
I can't believe you did it.
Politics.
It just blew my mind, politics. But you got to play sports and I really wanted to play volleyball. Mm. And Charlotte calls it volleyball.
No.
And she wants to play that now.
Okay.
This week. This
okay,
week.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
She also wants to go to dance, even though she got out of dance, and then she didn't sit, I want to do dance. And then yesterday she tells me, but I want to do dance. I want to do competitive dance.
Oh.
So we're
like
not
competitive
even,
swim?
Yeah, exactly. Like competitive swim that she didn't like when they told her what stroke to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, then it's not competitive. It's the same thing. They're going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
That's the only child syndrome, I think. You just want to do what you want and go rogue.
Maybe.
I do.
You do? Yeah.
I want to just do whatever. No one told me otherwise, right?
True.
Okay, so you went to Pierce. You did softball, but I wanted...
We jumped really quick to college.
We did. We're going
to
go back, but I want to talk about this one softball thing. Then there's so many things in her life, everybody. She is the most... She's a very full life of stuff, but she moved to New York. We'll talk about that in a minute, but you lived in New York, I believe. You played on a softball league, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And... Tell everyone what happened.
Yeah, got it.
Which still haunts me.
So I play a co-ed slow pitch rec ball. And I played that for a while and I was pitching. And so I sustained my first injury.
It was a doozy.
I was pitching. It got past the catcher. There was no play involved. She was getting the ball in the backstop. The ump threw me the backup ball, but didn't tell her. And to which she turned around, probably saw my glove up from catching the ball from the ump. And she threw me the ball as I was turning back to the mound. And I just heard my name being screamed, which made me then turn around to subsequently catch said ball in my eye. My left eye, in which I immediately fell to the ground. I thought I was going to vomit and shit my pants at the same time.
Yes.
But they were like, she needs ice. I'm like, I need an ambulance.
Why does ice always have to? No, we need something stronger than ice.
Yeah. So anyway, I blew out my orbital floor, hemorrhaging in my eye. I literally thought I was going to lose my eye. But I didn't. It was very ugly. I needed surgery. I have a titanium plate in my left orbital floor, but I can see. And the residual, the only residual that I have is a minimal cataract that is stable, everyone. Don't worry. And glaucoma. So I just need drops in my eye. And but yeah, it was bad. That's when I did my will because I thought...
In the ambulance. Does anyone have a pen?
Guys,
this is it.
I have a child. Someone needs to care for it.
It's getting dark in here. I'm feeling a little cold. I totally jumped over and I know, but I really wanted to finale that with the softball thing because I was like, you did so good. And then when I heard that story, I remember my first reaction, which was like on the phone because you were like in New York. I grabbed my eye, like I had a sympathy pain or something. I like held my eye. And every time I just think, like anytime there's a ball, I'm just like, Erica, that must have been like the most painful thing ever. I mean, I feel, I don't know. You almost shit your pants. You almost wrote your will.
I did.
Your healing was a long time, wasn't it?
It was a long time. But don't worry, that didn't stop me.
No, never, never. This girl, you guys, okay, here's the thing. Let me tell you a couple fun facts about Erica. She does not like to ask for help. Even if she could be direly dead, one breath away from death, and they're like,
pushing
I
my
have...
own coffin.
She's like lifting it. She's the pallbearer.
Don't worry, you guys, sit down.
I got this. You know what? I'm going to use my toe, and push it the rest of the way.
I built a contraption.
She will never ask for help, which is something we could absolutely dive in. She never asks for help. And I feel that you're good at a lot of things though. You're always like very good or you're very consistently practicing.
You're so flattering.
I'm not flattering on other things like your poor decisions in some certain areas of life, but that's okay.
I was like afraid this title's going to have, I don't know, Erica in Jesus shoes.
Because oh my God.
I'm wearing my Birks.
Oh my God, she's wearing her Jesus shoes.
Every title is... with a foot apparel.
She says to me a few years ago, oh, I got Birkenstocks. I'm like, you chose to get Birkenstocks? They're so comfortable, Jennifer. No, only Jesus should wear those. But everyone's wearing them, so I can't fault everyone's wearing them.
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? He'd wear these comfy shoes because he doesn't have a bunion. Which, by the way, I hate that word, by the way.
Okay.
Like, who thought of it? Like, it looks like a bun.
It's a medical professional, I'm sure.
Bun.
It looks like a bun onion. It's a bunion.
You know what? I'm going to call it a bunion.
Probably somebody's last name.
Okay, so we're going to go back into...
I think it is somebody's last name. Paul's.
You know, Paul Bunyan. He's a great guy. We love him. Oh my God, we love him. So Erica, this is... Okay, so there's a million stories about Erica.
We're on the fun facts. Let me bring you back.
Oh, what?
Because I want to hear more.
Oh,
the fun facts about me.
You're loyal to a fault.
Oh, yes.
You're very calm in situations where I feel people think they would be calm and you end up not. Like you hear someone scream they're like, oh, if that was happening, I would just run out of the house. You're so calm in certain situations where I feel a lot of people think they would be and aren't, but you are. And I think that's a good thing. Like because you're a nurse.
Yeah.
And you were in the military, but we haven't talked about this yet. We're really skipping over, guys. I'm telling you, this is
really
like,
far.
This is like, how old are we in seventh grade? I mean,
I think it was 12.
So we're talking about 40, 30 something years friendship. I can't just go in order. I can't do it. But you, I feel like you're calm to a fault, which is not, I mean, calm in a situation where people think they would be, but you truly are calm in a kind of, you know, a little sketchy situations.
Yeah.
You also jump to everyone's aid, even sometimes when they don't need it. Like I remember one time at band camp.
No, I'm just kidding. I was like, shit,
We were at a gas station. I think we were like traveling cross country or something. And like you looked yonder and you saw somebody who looked like, oh, is their car okay? And you went over to ask them if they were okay with like, and I'm like, they didn't ask for help. And you're like, I just needed to make sure they looked like they were in distress. And you said the word distress.
And so I was like, hearing stories that I don't remember.
I know, I do. And I remember thinking, they didn't ask for your help. Like, you know, they didn't put a hand up. They didn't. And
the
you're
brain
like,
waves.
But they looked like they were a little distressed. And I was like, I'm like with the doors locked because someone's going to rob us and stab us at whatever murder town we were probably in at a gas station that you shit on the walls. I don't know. I thought that was really funny. You're always very helpful.
I was thinking you were going to say that I never cry when you think I should cry.
True story. True. Oh my God. See, I know. So sometimes she never cries. And when I say that, I cry excessively. I cry enough for her. Okay. Just so you know, I cry enough for her. But the funny thing is sometimes I'll be telling a story or something happened. And I mean, I can't even talk. And she, not even a drop of moisture, even the normal moisture you're supposed to have in your eye, nothing. I could be like, this happened, and then a dog, but she didn't care. Oh, a baby, nope, don't care. Even though she loves kids, I'm not saying that. She just, I'm like, you're not even sad. Like, she does not cry. You do not cry.
I do cry, but just not often.
Like once a year?
Yeah.
Maybe you need to cry more and get it out.
I know, you always say that.
I do.
You're like, I'm consistent. Like, you need to cry.
You need to cry it out. My
psychologist often.
If you listen to all my podcasts and you were my number one subscriber, you would know that I cry in my car 5 minutes every single day.
I have listened to a few and not heard you mention that.
I pretty much talk about it in every one. Maybe one.
Okay.
Maybe I only said it once. Maybe I just tell people on the street.
The one I haven't.
I cry. I go in my car, I cry for 5 minutes every single day. There's a few reasons for that, but I do. I cry 5 minutes every single day. And that's why I feel I'm... here I am. I got it out, Erica. You need to get it out. You know what? Let's go on a retreat overnight, no phones, and I'm just going to tell you stories that will make you cry.
No phones would probably make me cry.
I don't know where to look. What do I do? How do I know what's happening? That's what we're going to do. We're going to go on an overnight retreat, and by retreat, I mean just like have snacks and just like stare at each other, but I'm going to fucking make you cry it out for like a month.
Okay.
30-something years of tears that need to come out. She does not cry. You guys, I'm telling you, I cry all the time. I cry at commercials.
I cry at TV. That's probably where the most I cry is if I'm watching a show, but I don't even watch TV anymore. I ain't got time for that shit.
Okay, so in high school, you were in 9th grade and you met, so this is another reason she was so cool. And when she was in high school, she's so beautiful, but she was in high school. I always thought she looked like—
Was it my bongo hypercolor?
It was your bongo hypercolor happy face t-shirt. And your mini unit skirt. Was it the unit skirt?
Probably.
Yes. That was the— I mean, that's why I was like—
Popular to all these rich bitches.
These rich bitches in their fucking guest clothes. I don't understand.
Now it's like
Louis Vuitton. They're probably wearing, like— Kids in high school probably have like little Louis Vuitton purses.
Probably.
That's never happening.
Up here in Austin Town for sure.
Callie will never have that, and neither will Charlotte.
If she gets it, it's probably a hand-me-down from you.
Oh, I had some stuff for Callie. Okay, Callie's her daughter. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So in 9th grade, you had a great wardrobe. We all did. We had great wardrobe. You had great bangs.
Oh, I did tease them.
You did tease them. And then you were... The cool girl who started dating a
senior
uh-huh. in high school. She was so cool because there were some hot seniors in high school. I mean,
you mean like Paul Walker?
Like Paul Walker and Mark Vail.
Oh, I think it was all right.
He was so hot.
We had different tastes.
We very, 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 very.
I didn't think you'd say Max was hot.
No, I mean, I'm a cup of Joe. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. She knew all the scoop. This is before phones, guys. We just had two cans
beepers.
We had beepers. Hello.
Yep.
Didn't he get you a beeper?
Probably.
He probably did. He probably needed to know
sign number one.
I'm surprised he didn't put an air tag in your neck.
They weren't invented yet.
They weren't invented yet. I was surprised he didn't put one of those chips like in Mission Impossible in your neck. He was a little, fine. But she dated him for a very long time, but she was so cool. Weren't you so cool because you were dating a senior? I thought you were.
I didn't think you were cool?
You were so cool.
Okay.
God, you give yourself no credit.
Well, I mean, I remember having
not much
having friends in all circles, probably because I played sports and I mingled.
You were nice to everybody.
Probably with people that you probably did not like, which is how I got on the softball team, but we won't bring up the F name.
God, I hated her.
I don't know I heard it in an episode.
I still have this like residual like loathing for this person that really means absolutely nothing. But if I saw her, I think I would actually just still punch her in the throat.
Mm.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's her face.
Oh, wow.
God, I didn't like her. She was just not a nice person. She was not a nice person.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
You were nice to her.
But
you were nice to her.
Well, you know, I was.
You got invited to the beach with her.
We played. Yep.
I never got invited. Probably
because
I
hated
her. Fucking bitch. She also didn't invite me to the beach. She knew I hated her and
voted
all over. And I don't even believe in like hate. I mean like loathing, like strong loathing. But man, that face just.
If you did, it would be now.
It would be. Yeah, it really would.
So yeah.
You were
dated
like
a senior.
You were like a you had a lot of older friends. You know, you made friends through his friends too, right? Like you, older girl, like older people too. Seniors. I mean, when you were in ninth grade, it's hard because you're like a freshman, or I felt, and I was shy then, remember?
No.
Painfully.
I don't remember any of this. I was like, fuck, this girl.
I know. I was so ridiculous, and I was so insecure, and I was so shy. I was so shy, painfully shy. But you, I felt like you just talked to everybody and made all these friends, and you were like the cool one. You had a senior boyfriend.
Yeah, I did get into my fat cap. Remember when I was the baggy jeans and
crisscross
the pockets in the front.
You did. You were. And Erica is very thin. She was very thin too. And she would wear like the biggest fucking jeans. Which is now a trend again, right?
Yep. Okay, everything comes full circle.
Right?
For sure.
Were they cross colors?
No, I think I only had
crisscross will make you chill.
It was like I don't know.
Yeah, and you wore, you had some style. But Max, you were the coolest kid, right, in high school, in freshman year?
I don't remember being the coolest, but if you-
Everybody talked to you.
Oh.
You weren't shy.
No.
You're not shy now.
No.
So you never had that weird period?
I was probably more reserved. I feel like I've changed a little bit, but I've always, I think, remember being
I feel like you're very serious now.
Probably.
You're very serious.
Yeah.
Like, you got to loosen up. You need to have a shot sometime. Okay, when we go on a retreat, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do 5 shots, but through the whole day. That's it, because then I'll throw up. I can't throw up in my own retreat.
Throw up.
And then we're going to get you to cry.
Okay.
Sounds
like a plan.
It sounds like the best plan ever.
Totally want to go.
Okay, so, and how long did you date Max?
Felt like forever. Well, 9th. 10th, 11th, 12th. Yeah, because I didn't like do senior shows. That's when it got a little weird.
But you still hung in.
You
were going to marry
loyal.
Him.
Oh, yeah.
You were going to marry
him.
Oh,
yeah, I had a ring. My senior picture. I was in my acrylics.
Did you have a pearl necklace?
No.
Damn,
that's lame. I would not have been cool.
I had a fucking, everyone said you had to wear a pearl necklace. Not that kind of pearl
necklace. I don't know. I just remember strategically placing my hands in my acrylics.
You did.
So that you could see,
the acrylics,
my ring.
For sure.
Yeah. That didn't last. Probably when I got to Pierce.
That when you broke up?
I think, yeah.
I don't remember when you guys broke up. I just remember.
Yeah.
You were with him a while. It got weird. He was a little bit controlling. Like her senior year, she couldn't do really any of the stuff because he was already long gone. I think he was just long gone and maybe felt like you were at, you know, like what was going on with you. Because you were still in high school.
Yeah, and I think we were so close, like even, you know, like with his family and stuff. But I don't know, whatever clicked, I realized that there was a lot of double standards. And I think, you know, in defense to him, I was very, which is not anymore the deal. And I don't know, you know, I was just very submissive. So whatever he said went. And then one day,
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. which I guess could be attractive in some, you know, young,
yes,
weird,
everything he said went. Yep.
And then one day I don't know, I just was like, why do you get to do all the things and I don't get to do all the things? So,
ooh,
all the things,
all the things. Ooh,
and so I don't know.
I kind of forgot how that broke off. I knew it broke off. I knew it needed to break off.
Well, it was another girl. There was some questionable activities happening, and we broke up in front of my house in his mini truck that had the bass.
Bass.
Yeah, and I had a car in which he put the
bass.
Woofers.
Out of my stuff, I can
roll up into school like the cool person. Okay, yeah, maybe now I'm remembering. I was pretty cool. Yeah,
you were so cool.
Yep, and I think
was that the Celica?
Yeah. No.
It was the
Nissan.
Yes,
it was like a Nissan Sentra.
Yes,
and he put like the 18s in the back, and I would DJ Magic Mike.
Oh my gosh! You know what song I heard yesterday randomly at the car dealership in Utah? They had music on. Do you remember Far Side?
Yeah.
Do you remember the one song from Far Side?
Probably.
In my younger days, I used to smart a stash. Remember that song?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
We still listen to that.
Uh-huh.
In a car dealership in Utah.
Wow.
First person I thought of was you. Because remember when I drove, we would just put our cassette tapes in the Ford.
Oh, I remember the Ford Pony.
Okay, now we're going to. I want to go back to that. But I want to just, again, these stories, they're just here. They're everywhere. And they're fun. And you guys probably have funny stories, too. So you can always tell me about your stories when you send me a text or email or whatever.
Or be a guest.
Erica was always very knowledgeable in areas. I keep saying she just was always like everything. She always knew how to do everything. She's like, well, I know how to change oil in a car. I did not. I was the first one of our friends. There was like five of us that were friends.
I was hoping we'd get to the story.
And so I had a Ford Escort Pony, which was really badass. It had tan interior and it was white. And it was really cool. And Erica was like, Miss, people show me how to do cars. I could probably change a tire. And I didn't know any of that. And I still don't. And I hate car shit. But there's two folds to this.
Not only oil and tire, which, you know, I think are things. Let's just go down to the most principle of things when you have a car. Pump gas.
which took me like a year to do by myself, by the way.
We did not have full serve. New York has full serve, and we didn't have full serve. Unless you have a mom that is full serve.
Mom, can you meet me at the corner? I didn't really know how to pump gas. I didn't do anything. Erica did everything, and she saved a lot. But one time, this story still, it's not a Ralph's anymore, though, when I drive by it. It's like a grocery outlet, but in the shopping center, it was like a Ralph's. And it was like this triangle where one street went one way and then whatever. And it, for some reason back, we had rain.
It was a while ago.
Torrential rain, especially this day in the old pony. And I was probably taking Erica home or something. And on this street, that's like a triangle, like I said, one street goes one way, one street goes the other. It kind of splits almost like a five-way street, or it's kind of this weird thing. The drainage was clearly, or the
I believe it was below sea level.
So the and every time I drive by this, and we're like with David, and we go by his mom.
I don't know if I've ever driven by it again.
Oh my god, because David's mom is still
right
off the. Oh my gosh, and we're driving, and I'm going like normal speed. Let's say like 40. I don't even know. Whatever.
Except you don't do 40 when there's like
the rain
3 feet of water in front of you.
The rain was past the tires. And Erica, literally, we're driving and there was this big dip as you go past like into this like triangle parking lot. And there was this big dip. She's like, slow down, Jennifer, slow down, Jennifer, slow down, Jennifer, slow down, Jennifer, slow down. And I keep going the same speed and it dies. And what do I do besides panic? There is a situation. I'm like, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to help me.
She sunk down in the driver's seat like as if we were going to magically, miraculously be lifted from said water and put onto dry land.
And Erica's looking at me.
I don't know. We didn't have a cell phone to call her mom.
We didn't have anything. We didn't have a quarter for the payphone to use the beeper. We had nothing. She gets out. She is, I would say, knee deep, wouldn't you say?
It was close to my knees.
And she's going to push. But I'm just sitting there. Not doing shit.
Can't count on this one.
And the worst part about this.
One, she'd be embarrassed, and you cannot be embarrassed.
I was very shy and I was everything embarrassed.
Nothing.
Me.
Yeah.
Everything. I was embarrassed. I had my head down. But the thing about this triangle, it was like to get to the grocery store, the Ralph's at the time, the driveway was like a hill.
A little bit of a hill.
A little bit of a hill. So she's going to push
through rapids. Because there was a current.
Because there was torrential
downpour.
Torrential rain. I don't think I remember seeing rain like
this
here.
Well, but then a truck pulled up.
Yeah, a truck.
And pushed us
up the hill.
To safety.
So they push us up the hill, and I'm like, whew, God, that was fixed. And then literally—
Told us to dry the spark plugs.
Yes.
Which dried them for us.
He did all that.
Yep. And so I was like, okay.
I just smiled. Thank you.
Did you get out of the car finally?
No, I don't think so. I just smiled.
Yeah. So then we proceed on our way.
And didn't I do it again?
Take two.
Jennifer, slow down.
There's more water. Jennifer, slow down.
Jennifer, the water. Poof. How's it going? She's like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking kill you.
To the side, we pulled
so
to the curb.
So every time I drive by that, I just remember Erica, Jennifer, slow down. Jennifer, slow down. I'm like, what? Like with a balloon on the top of my head with helium. I'm like, dee-dee-dee. Oh my God. I was probably more worried about the cassette tape of the music that we were playing than the fact that we're on the side of the road doing whatever with some kind of plugs.
Yeah. But we made it home.
We did make it home. And that story just makes me laugh. But yeah, we drove around. I was the first one to drive. So I feel like all of my memories of that kind of music primarily are, I think of Erica because it was all that, the good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Not like now. I don't like music now. There's a guy called Young Gravy. I don't know, but why?
I don't know.
I mean, probably you're really just rolling the dice with that name.
Yeah.
I was eating turkey one day and potatoes and I thought
I could use some Young Gravy.
I thought maybe some Young Gravy. Wait a minute. I think that's going to be my rap name because I'm young and I like gravy.
Everything just means something different now.
There's probably
some connotation to gravy.
But when you hear gravy, ew.
At our age.
My rap name would not be Young Gravy. What would your rap name be?
Oh, I was going to ask you first.
No, fuck off. Not it. Go, yours is first.
I don't know.
I know, it's hard now.
Too serious, I guess.
Too serious.
But the S's would have monies.
Oh, there we go.
Bills.
No tears.
No. The I is not dotted with a tear.
The three tears on your cheek. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. So there was this candy store, kind of like, remember the Sweet Factory, which I don't even know. Are they still in open? I have no idea.
I don't know.
But
maybe.
Back then it was $7 a pound, and I saw candy at this place, like this little boutique, and it was like $22 a pound.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? We thought $7 was a lot. Yeah, $7 a pound of candy.
Then.
We get this job, and I don't remember but I'm sure we started at Burbank, but they tell you have to wear a train conductor hat, a white polo, jean shorts to your knees, or jeans.
Oh.
You wore jean shorts or jeans. I don't even know if you wore jeans. I just remember wearing jean shorts all the time, and it just screaming like, I wear comfortable shoes.
I didn't remember I just remember the hat and the apron.
And the hat and the apron, and when we were at Sherman Oaks, this is when the Sherman Oaks Galleria was badass.
Mm-hmm.
There was like all the store, Contempo and Judy's and all of this stuff. There was like a theater. Now they've made it some kind of other thing, I think.
Oh.
It's not really a mall. It's more like an experience, you know how?
Oh.
Whatever. But anyways, I remember we were at the candy store. We did end up stealing a lot of candy from that place.
I will not admit.
I plead the fifth.
Such crime.
I heard a rumor. That's all I'm going to say.
We were allowed to have some.
We were allowed to have some. But like maybe like we can try
in the quantities that we had,
not in filling a bag every day, multiple. But we worked there. I think we made I remember weird shit. You made $4.50 an hour, and I made $4.25, and I couldn't believe it because I was like, I am such a better worker than
what?
You.
I don't. How do you remember that?
Why do I remember weird shit? But I can't tell you why I go in the kitchen half the time. I stand there like a fool.
Why did I make a quarter more?
Fuck me, I have no idea. But I was like, this bitch, I'm a better candy pusher than
probably
she is.
Probably because that creepy manager.
Yeah, so then we had, the first owners were this husband and wife, and the husband was really creepy, and he ended up, she was still dating Max.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, she was still dating Max.
We're going back to that.
We just did a flippy.
Yeah, okay,
Uno reverse.
The trolls. I just remember the Trolls were very popular during that time.
Yes, and we sold them there.
Yes. And we had a price gun, and we had to price them on the bottom of the troll foot.
Yes.
And did we both see creepy manager spying on us from yes. one of the windows?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we did. He was like across the thing or he was around
the corner. He was around like
around the corner.
And we saw him peeking, spying,
yes.
oddly.
Yes, I forgot about that.
And then, I don't even know if it was the same time, but whatever. Long story short, he was kind of creepy and he took one of the prices and like put it on my butt.
Yeah.
And
he
then,
touched your tushy.
That's where my bathing suit covers.
He did, and you told.
And so I had to go tattle
you
and
did.
Tell Max, who then was going to come and murder him.
He was going to roll up in his base in your face truck, and kick his ass, and then you quit.
Yeah,
and then I still made $425 an hour.
You didn't even get a promotion.
My God,
yeah, that is where my love for because you remember how we had to rotate the CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Reba.
You did.
I became like really
and
into
also,
that Reba.
Didn't we always have Whitney
Shania?
Houston and
well,
Shania?
Whitney, you can't. Like, she's.
Well, I know, but you only can hear so much, man. It was on rotation.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So that was my extent of country music. I'm not really a fan still.
Me neither. I can't get into it, but I will say this on a side note. I love David, but there's some hot country dudes now. They were not like this back then. I saw somebody. I'm like, who's this guy? And I look and I'm like, oh, he's a country singer. I didn't know. He's hot.
Another one.
I'm like, I should get into country music. Something to look at. I'm not looking at Young Gravy. Look at this country guy. I don't know who Young Gravy is. I don't even know if it's a guy or a girl. I don't know. But yeah, so then you left and abandoned me. And I was wearing this train conductor hat, white questionable polo, and these lame-ass shorts. And this is when Paula Abdul and Emilio Estevez were married.
Oh.
And you had just left, I think, or whatever. And this, like I said, there was a movie theater on the top. And they were together. They were married. And they walked in. And they were the same height.
Oh, sure.
Which I didn't realize because on TV, you don't realize that they were very small. They were tiny people. Mm-hmm. They were like 5'5". I mean.
We could have put a price tag on
yeah,
all those trolls.
Yeah, we could have put a bottom of the foot and gone like this with their freaking hair. And they walked up and I was like by myself. Oh, and the owner, I remember she'd say, if you ever see anybody, take a picture with this like disposable camera. I'm like, you can suck it if you think I'm going to bust out. Anyways, and they came
That's
up.
That's probably why you got $425.
Like, you can't do anything we say. And I remember they bought like Red Vines or something. They were going to go to a movie. And I was just standing there. This is when she was at her prime.
Yeah.
This was like, rush, a cold-hearted mm-hmm. snake.
Mm.
Oh, man, she was so cool. I left there just like a pep in my step. I was
Aww.
Very happy.
Damn, I missed that.
I know, because you got your ass touched and Max was going to throw down.
I was groped.
You were. I remember the troll and a sticker. And I remember we saw him peeking out of the window. I forgot about the window. He was creepy. Our first fight, our only real fight was at the candy station. You threw Jordan almonds at me. Do you remember?
I did not. You took that really personally. I mean, we had many a candy fights, but I don't know why the Jordan almonds.
Like they pelted me and I died.
Yet here you are.
I didn't get to the point
what
where I said I resurrected myself. I didn't say where I resurrected myself. Okay, so.
Back to Pierce.
You went to Pierce, softball. Okay, broke up with Max. And then randomly, there was a little hot minute where you were like working with your dad and this and that at the store.
Oh,
at Ralph's or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, what did you do?
Oh, well, I
shouldn't say all of a sudden.
No, yeah.
Kind of. I feel like it was maybe an all of a sudden.
Yeah, I had thought about it, about going into the military. And then one of the girls on my Pierce team, the Brahma Mamas. We called them the Brahma Mamas. I had a little dance. And she was like, oh, my aunt's a recruiter and whatever. So I went, she didn't. And it was a very awesome time in my life.
You had a good time.
I didn't want it to be my whole life. Although, had I made it my life, I'd be retired by now and collecting probably some money. But it was a good part of my life.
But tomato, tomato.
It has further shaped who I am.
Yeah, you definitely.
AKA serious.
Definitely serious, but you really took to that and it didn't faze you. Like it would, I'm just such a wimp. Like you were like, when you do the 3 months, remember you do like your 3 month thing? Because mm-hmm. you were in North Carolina when you did your 3 months too, right? Did you end up staying where you were stationed or when you did your 3 month?
No, I was in South Carolina for boot camp.
Boot camp.
Graduated. And then, yeah, I went to North Carolina, Camp Lejeune.
But when you did that and you were like, oh yeah, we're out in the wilderness. We're just, and I'm just, all I could think about is bugs. And like, where are you going to the bathroom? Those are the things my brain thinks of, or like you're smelling and like your legs are going to be hairy. You're like, it was so cool. It was very hard, but it really got you a team building and all this shit, which is amazing. But I'm like, where do you go poo? Like, where do you,
depends on who you are. Some people had different theories on where you go poo.
But you did not at an AM PM in the middle of,
there
you know,
were not a place with showers.
Yeah, like she just didn't even faze her and you just loved it. I feel like
I
loved it and it was your jam. You know when something's your jam, you're a born leader, you've always been. You always have been. You lead your household. Come on. Come on.
I try.
You literally have a hat and a whistle. Just kidding.
With a 5-year-old and a 17-year-old, it's hard to feel like you still lead.
Okay, you did boot camp, then you moved to North Carolina.
Well,
and you met?
Yeah. Okay. So then after boot camp, you do your school for your trade, for your job that you're going to have. And that's where I met Kirk, who is my son's father. I met him in 29 Palms.
I mean, oh, that's right. But wait, so what was your age now? 23? How long were you there? How old were you?
I think I went in when I was 20. Which also makes a difference because a lot of people go in when, you know, right after high school. And I had done some of that. So I think that maybe, I don't know if that little bit of maturity or...
Probably, because they go straight in. They don't go to college. They just go straight in.
Yeah. And for probably not the same reasons I did, you know, to get out of bad situations or to whatever. So I think sometimes that's not the best way to go into something. So I guess I took it, you know, a little bit more serious. But so, yeah, so in 29 Palms, actually back up. Okay, so when I graduated boot camp, I did graduate with some, obviously, friends. I spent a lot of my time with them. And so we all got stationed at 29 Palms for our job. Anyway, so we stayed friends. Kirk was in my squad. So I was a squad leader. I know.
Shocker. Shocker.
And because I'm so funny,
and
like
she was
you,
so excited to be a two. She probably said a prayer that night before.
We just stupid stuff. But anyway, okay, I'll nutshell this. So I just thought he was, you know, really cute or whatever. So, but nothing ever happened then except for one time. Obviously, we had to run a lot. We had to do a lot of exercise. But in 29 Palms, they have what they call sandstorms there sometimes. And it was very windy and they were still going to fucking make us run. And we were in our short shorts and the sand is blowing so hard. It's like sandpaper on your skin. And they still were going to make us run.
Ooh, they just don't give a
fuck. And I'm thinking, my contacts, sand in my eye, I'm toast. But of course, okay, we're going to do it anyway. So we go, and it must have gotten so bad.
I probably would have cried.
It must have gotten so bad to the point where they were like, find a bunker, find it. So all of a sudden, we're like hopping into random bunkers that we could see. And I'm in a bunker. I'll never forget this story. I guess it was time to come out. It's like, ollie, ups and free. This hand comes into the bunker that I'm at, and it's Kirk. And it's, take my hand if you want to live. And that was it for me. I was like, he's my soulmate.
Done. Soulmates forever. Soulmates forever.
He's the alpha alpha.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Could you imagine me in that same situation?
No. No.
Right when you said sand, grab a bunker, everyone for themselves, and I'd be dead. I'd be dead.
Yeah. So then, that was it. But then
you go both got stationed.
Yeah. So then after field radio operator school, we took a leave. I came back home. He's from New York. And then we both, and some of my friends that I went to school, field radio operator school with, all got stationed in Camp Lejeune. So I decided that I was going to drive from California to New York, stay with my girlfriend there, and then all of our friends that we knew were going to be stationed in Camp Lejeune would drive down to North Carolina after that. So that's what we did, and then we all remained friends. And then at some point, probably, I don't know, we ended up being together, which is a lot.
She's very loyal.
It's a lot of Loyal to a fault.
Loyal to a fault.
I remember. I know.
And it's okay.
You know, it's who you are. A lot of therapy has.
It's okay.
Changed me.
You and my mom really are loyal to a fault.
Yeah. So anyway, he. You know, we went through our things. He was from a family that came with a lot of baggage, a lot of whatever. And so I went through a lot of shit. And again, I realized, like, how am I like this person who feels like I'm super strong, independent? How do I get stuck with these guys? And I think it's because, like, I even remember saying, feeling bad for him and thinking I could be the one to change him or
fix him
or fix him
or
show him that he's worth love or whatever. I remember saying that to myself. And I look back at it now and I'm like, what the fuck do I think I am? Clearly, It didn't work.
But I was with him for a long time. You were with him for a long time, but I did get to visit you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Remember we went to the shooting range.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about that right now. I think I'm ready to go back though. I feel different.
After all this time.
Yeah, I still haven't gone. I keep telling David, we should go on a date and go to the shooting range. And I told him the story about us when you guys took, so it was Kirk and his friend, his buddy.
Uh-huh.
And then Erica and I came to visit her in North Carolina. They're like, let's go to the shooting range. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was my attitude.
I did not think that we were going to get to where we got.
Yeah, I got there. You go ahead.
I just remember trembling and crying and she couldn't pull the trigger. And it was like, I think I've ruined her. I thought we were going to have a good time.
In my brain, I had it. The second I held the gun, I just remember I couldn't get it together.
Yeah.
And it was so traumatizing. And I was like, why?
Yeah, we don't have to do this.
Like, it seems fun now. Like, I told David, I'm like, I really want to do this, even though I was traumatized. But not because of your doing. I thought for sure. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then the second they hand me the gun, I mean, I'm surprised there wasn't a pee-pee track in my pants.
Yeah.
Seriously. Did I piss my pants? I probably did.
I don't remember. Probably not.
I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know. Something came over you.
I cried.
Something came over you.
Tears and snot were like coming down at the same time.
Like she'd come out of the gas chamber. That's what happens when you come out of the gas chamber.
I remember and I was like, mortified because there's this two guys that I've just met and I was just like, or, you know, recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally cool. And then I was not cool. I was fucking lame.
Yeah, I don't know. Just something came over you.
Something came over. And then they weren't on base. You guys weren't staying on base. You guys stayed in this like trailer.
Uh-huh.
So this is a memory that I have. I landed and she picks me up from the airport. Maybe her and Kirk picked me up or she picked me up. Anyways, it's pitch dark. I have no fucking clue. We could have been going to the freaking Grand Hyatt or we could have been going to, you know,
whatever. The trailer.
Or the trailer. And all I saw was trees. That's all you saw was like trees. And then it'd be like, because it was pitch dark. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like trees, 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 space. I'm like thinking, where are we going? And then she turns down this very rural and it's like rocks and stuff. And I'm like, huh, it's not what I pictured. I pictured something else. I have no idea. So it was a trailer. It was fine. I mean, it was there. So we go in, but it's pitch dark outside and it was late. And it was kind of, we talked a little bit and their roommate at the time was not there. He was gone or maybe he was being stationed or something. He had she's like, you can sleep in here. He had a blow up mattress on the ground. But again, everything was dark.
Luxury.
Nothing is too good for Jennifer. So, and this is where I feel like I'm such a fucking like prissy bitch, but I'm really cool. But I was like, where the fuck am I? There's a trailer, there's whatever. But this is what I remember. And this is like my own trauma, because I'm going to tell a little caveat to this story. That she's here. You're going to go in here. I set my stuff down. I don't know if we're getting ready for bed or whatever. She's getting sheets. And I turn on the light. And one of my traumas is the movie The Shining. And I'll tell you why in a second. But he had right in front of the bed on the wall this room is not big. The wall that's right where you open the door and the door would cover the wall was this huge, like, 4 or 5 foot Shining poster of where Jack Nicholson's, like, peeking his head. You know, the famous one? And when I was 3 years old and my dad was able to take me, he took me to see that. And I sat under the chairs crying. And I remember thinking, oh my God, like, why is this the poster that's in here? Yeah. I don't know that you knew that.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. My mom found that out like a couple years later. And when I was probably like 5, she's like, you would take her. He's like, well, I really wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Perfect. I cried the whole movie underneath the chairs.
I would imagine that's not a 3-year-old movie.
I just remember. And I remember, like, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to sleep. I did. It was fine. Everything was fine. But that was just my first thing. I turned on the light and I'm like, no.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We stayed at the trailer. We went to the gun range. Dawson's Creek was really big then because you took me to the area where they filmed Dawson's Creek. I remember the little town. Yeah. Was it Wilmington? No. Was there a Wilmington there?
Yeah.
They filmed Dawson's Creek there. And this is when Dawson's Creek, when it was on the WB.
That's nice.
I watched
of me.
All of those. And I'm like, this is where Pacey and Dawson.
I did not watch Dawson Creek.
What? I didn't like Dawson. I liked Pacey. Everyone liked Pacey. Anyways, but I'm like, so cool. It was like a cute little place, exactly like it was on the show. And I felt so cool.
Aw.
Yeah. Minus the gunfire and
yeah.
poster.
That's crazy.
But you were with Kirk for what? 10 years? No.
No, it was more like 13.
Yeah. 10 years together though, right? And then a couple years just like co-parenting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we got out in October of 2000. He got out like a month before me or after me. I was trying to convince him to stay in, but he didn't want to. So anyway, I got out, came back to California, wanted to hurry up and get a job, but I ended up going back to Ralph's for a little while just to tide me over. And I decided that I was going to go to nursing school.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. yes. And when you came back, yep.
Yep. But back then, it was by the lottery system. And I was like, I don't have time to wait for a lottery system. So Kirk was in New York. I decided to drive back up to New York. And then we ended up, you know, staying together. And I got right into nursing school. And then September 11th happened. And I thought for sure we were going to get called back in to the point where... I practically volunteered my services.
Of course,
and they were
you
like, yeah,
of course
I know, because I
they're like, you need to stop bothering this lady.
Listen, if you're a Marine and are listening to this show, you are not surprised by this statement that I'm saying, you know. And so I called my own
She's
unit.
Like, ready for duty.
That's right. I said, I am in New York and, you know, whatever. And they were like, Sergeant Montez, we'll call you if we need you.
You're on our list. Don't you
you're
worry.
On the wait list.
You're on the wait list. We'll let you know. You
you're
don't need to keep following up every day.
Yeah. Never called. So come to find out, it was probably better. Finished nursing school. Oh, moved down to North Carolina.
You moved to North Carolina.
Yeah, we moved down to North Carolina.
I don't remember when you were in North Carolina. Did you work in a hospital or is that when you started the traveling nursing?
No. So my first job was in North Carolina. Kirk was flipping houses with his family.
Yes.
With his cousins and stuff. Yeah. So I started my first job there. It was a great, great start. I was so fortunate to have the beginning of my nursing career at that hospital, Wake Forest University.
That's right.
Wake Forest Baptist. It was a long name.
That's right.
But anyway. Comparable to Duke, but in Winston-Salem, and it was huge.
You have, like, a really good background. Like, when you really start diving into it, like, you've done a lot of shit.
Should I write a book? I don't know.
I think you should.
No. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody's going to read it.
Yeah. So I did that, and then that's when things kind of started going south with Kirk.
He was
really developing into some more serious mental health issues. Anyway, so then after a little bit over a year, I decided that I was going to start traveling, and we split up, and I came back to California and started working at, started traveling at different hospitals.
Yeah.
Long Beach. I lived in Long Beach for a while.
Huntington?
Glendale. Huntington Memorial.
Huntington
I worked at Huntington Memorial. Yeah. Worked at Verdugo. I went back to New York.
Got
pregnant with Isaac.
Yeah.
So after my first travel stint, Kirk had come out a few times and, you know, somehow convinced me that he was getting better after I turned him away for 3 times. But we moved back to New York. I got a job there relatively quickly because while I was going to nursing school, I had a job in a recovery room and did that for a while. I soon was pregnant with Isaac. And then after Isaac was probably a little over 1, again, things weren't better. They were still really bad. So that's when I was like, I've had enough. My loyalty ended after
575 years.
14 years.
I'm calling it. I'm tapping out.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so that was about 9 years in that recovery room. And then I started traveling again, and I've been out here ever since. I think it's 2015, 2016.
Yeah, you did 2016 because you came out the week I found out I was pregnant. I remember you came to my house and I just had found out like the day before, and I didn't want to tell you on the phone because you were going to stay with me for a couple days, or you were going to, whatever, you stayed or you came to visit first and then you were going to go get, you know, figure out what you were doing, obviously up here, get a place, but or stay with your mom or whatever. But you came to the house, I remember I told you.
And I would like to take this moment that when you told me to let the audience know, a tear came falling from my eye.
When I told you I was pregnant?
I was very happy for you.
You know what? Now that you say that, yes. And I do think, you know what? Hold on a second. I think you might have cried at the hospital, a tear.
Maybe.
When I was, remember how high I was? And I had everyone come to meet Charlotte. And I was like, every picture, I didn't realize it at the time, you know, and then I saw the pictures and I was like, oh my God, I was so high. I was like, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But I think there was a tear there too.
Hormones.
It was a
very,
yeah, you saved my life on that, my first year. Maybe longer, maybe even now, but you were such a, just an amazing friend for that. It was very, I was very, like, how am I going to keep this person alive? I just don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. Yeah, she, I mean, Erica is, she's like, she's such a good human. She's all these things and we joke, yeah, she doesn't cry. Okay, fine, whatever. She has this leadership. She has like the heart of gold, and she would always take on, like she would take these babysitting jobs when we were like in high school or right out of high school. And like the kids were like her kids. And I was like, you know, you don't have to like go to all their softball games. It's just like who she was, but I didn't get it. Now I get it. I mean, I get it, you know, obviously later, but I remember Charlotte was the worst sleeper, and David and I were just, we look like death. And I don't think I've mentioned this, but she just like, just was taking Isaac to like your dad's or something. And you're like, by the way, I'm going to probably cry when I'm saying this. And she called and she's like, hey, I'm dropping Isaac off. Why don't I come and stay the night and sleep in the guest room and just let you and David sleep. I'll handle Charlotte. And I was like, no, I could never. Because sometimes you don't want to say like you can't do something. And this is the difference between David and I, by the way. So I'm like, no, Erica. And you're like, listen, I was like, no, you can't. I think I was crying. She goes, I'm dropping him off. It'll probably be about a half hour. You have like a half hour window before I start heading up. And I'm like, okay, I hang up the phone and David's like, take her up on it. I didn't even click. Take her up on it, Jennifer. We need the sleep. We need to have like a reset. And if she's, and I said, I can't ask her to do that because if she's not going to get any sleep, she's like, he's like, she offered. And I was like, okay. And I remember I was sobbing. I was sobbing my eyeballs out.
Yeah,
and
it was a hard time. She was not sleeping well.
No, it was
probably confiding that in me. And yeah, I mean, when I moved back out here, it was just Isaac and I, and I had a pretty decent support group or whatever. And I was like,
yeah, it was so,
I'll stay up. We'll bring her. Yeah. I remember that night.
Yeah. I remember just, and I always think this about you. You're just so amazing, but that is something. And unless I get dementia, I pray I don't, cause I'll be really pissed off. But I was like, it's one of those moments where I was like, I mean, I know it sounds like, but it's like you saved my life. And I don't mean, I just mean like just that breathing. David, of course, cause he can fucking sleep all day. I think I slept like 12 hours. I mean, at least 10 hours. Yeah. And he slept longer. And I was just like, that was just so kind. And so like no one did, I didn't know people did that. I mean, I would, you know, and then you helped me in the beginning of my business and all those things. And it's like, you would take on all this stuff. And I'd be like, stop taking on all this stuff. And then I thought, oh, well, that really helped me. Thank you for taking on all this stuff.
You're welcome. I'm sure you've.
No, yeah. I just, yeah. And it just meant a lot. And I know it sounds, you know, just silly, but, and you're not going to cry, but I am crying. Look, you guys can't see through the microphone, but there's three tears. It just meant a lot. And she is amazing and wonderful and all of these things. And there's so much more we can talk about, but I know that our time is kind of running down. And with that, I want to say, I love you. I thank you for coming and talking. I love just reliving stories. It's very special to me because I'm an only child. Because I'm an only child that I have friends that are my family. And so to have Erica on is very special to me. It means a lot. But our story is not over, and she's going to come back very soon because I want to finish some of our story, but we can talk forever because we've known each other forever. And if you have friends like that, appreciate them, love them, and know that we can't see them every day. We can't always do stuff because our lives, but I love her dearly. And I'm very thankful for her friendship and being my sister. And I thank her for being here. And she needs to be my number one subscriber. But in order to do that, you also have to like, subscribe, and follow so you can know when a new episode drops. And yes, I'm crying. No, she's not crying.
Yes, I am. Look.
Oh, there's a tear, you
guys.
It's
not welled. It's welled.
It's welled. It didn't drop.
But that is significant.
It's welled, you
Jennifer,
guys.
That was
and
very
I love
sweet.
I love this. And thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to talking to you next week. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at @Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.